There's Luau. We must be coaching. Hey.
Hey, so this, I'm a May baby from last year.
Hello, May baby.
And this is my very first coaching call, so I'm a little nervous.
It's all right. I don't not at lunch. I just had a big salad, so I'm not hungry.
Oh, well, that's a good thought. Yay. Okay. So I've lost between 55, 56, 57 pounds since like last January.
Yeah.
And, but I'm kind of stuck and I'm making my plans. Okay. Getting my water. I'm getting my sleep. I'm making a plan every day, but I don't seem to follow it every day. I do great with breakfast and lunch. And then when I get home, I feel like I need a snack every day.
Okay.
But so I don't know that I really need a snack.
Is that I'm stuck. Our weight is not stuck. Our weight is a reflection of our actions.
Okay. True.
Because if you keep telling yourself, I'm stuck at this weight, then you have, like, it allows your brain to believe that it's just hard to do the next part, or there's something going on there when it's like, no, the reason why the weight's not moving is because I'm overeating and it's all happening right here. It has nothing to do with being stuck or plateaued or anything like that. It just brings you into immediate awareness with yourself. It's hard to fix a problem that we don't talk about as a problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we're eating a snack in the afternoon and we're hungry.
I think I'm hungry.
Then you're not hungry. Hunger is always felt. It is not like, I think I might be hungry. <That's> good.
Okay. You know me too well. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking that may be what it is. Maybe. After I eat a snack, I get home usually around between 4:30, 5:30. I usually have a snack and then I usually try to eat dinner at 7. Okay. And I think what I need to do is try to really determine, okay, am I really hungry for that? Or can I wait until 7 o'clock to eat? Can I be uncomfortable?
Snack. What is the snack you're having?
Usually it's like either yogurt and granola or popcorn.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not like bad.
No, let's put it this way. If I said, I have this bountiful bowl of broccoli for you waiting in the fridge every afternoon, would you be like, I'd get down on that?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Let me just say that this is what we all do when we, this is what I call the beauty of the halfway point in our journey or whatever. We clean our food up so much. Like it used to be like, I used to pile drop Cheetos on the couch, but now I'm like yogurt. I mean, fuck. And we talk about how much better it is, right? And all we're really doing is we're just having healthy Cheetos.
Oh.
Like if you're either hungry or you're not, because like, here's the thing. We always know true hunger. As my grandmother used to say, bark don't taste bitter to the hungry squirrel. So if you had broccoli in that refrigerator and you're like, no, then we know that you're just like, all right, it's 4:30. It's transition time. I'm not eating dinner till 7. Holy shit. I should probably have some healthy granola or maybe some popcorn. This will be great. It is better than we used to do, but just because it's a leveled up food doesn't mean our body needs it.
Okay.
It just means that we're talking ourselves into having it. When do you eat lunch?
Usually I'm eating between 12 and 1 o'clock. Today, I've not gotten hungry yet. So I'm a home health nurse, so I can stop pretty much any time unless I'm just really slammed with patients. I can stop at any time and eat.
Okay.
So I can eat at different
times. At 4:30, let's say you came home and you weren't going to have a snack.
Mm-hmm.
Where does your brain go? Like, just in all honesty.
In all honesty, I think that I'm scared to sit in discomfort.
How do you know it's going to be uncomfortable? You're not hungry.
That's true.
So there's not going to be any physical pain.
Yeah. So I just need to try to really examine if I'm hungry. And then if I am, okay, yeah, have a snack. And then if not, then do something else.
Let's just pretend we're not hungry ever.
Okay.
Like, this has never been a hunger issue.
Okay.
Every day at 4:30, you now go home and you do not eat until dinner. Then what? What does your brain think?
Well, just getting in the habit of not eating. I mean, it'll think, well, let's do something else.
Something else that you're going to be doing?
Probably either going to the gym and walking, or getting my charting done.
Your what?
My charting. I have to chart on every patient. So getting my work finished.
And why do you think you are eating that snack? If it's not hunger, why do you think you're eating that snack?
You know, I've thought about that, and I thought, well, maybe it's avoiding doing either of those things.
Oh, it might be. It's like, let's just talk about, like, when I'm having granola or popcorn, what are you doing? Like, what are you experiencing? Like, you start the eating, it's like, what? Like, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that feeling?
That's not working. That's what that's doing.
No, what is it? No, it's giving you something, and it's giving you something very positive. What is it that it's giving you?
It's given a happy feeling because I'm not working or walking.
Yeah. So you wonder why every day you want to eat a snack, because like, well, if I don't eat a snack, then that means I'm going to be walking or I'm going to be charting. What if you just sat your happy ass down and took a break? Without a bag of popcorn. That's the only thing that's going to be missing at the party.
That's true.
I just knew this was where this was going. I swear to God, because I've coached on this several times and I know this is what happens.
Yeah.
You guys want to take a break. You guys want to experience some relief from the day and whatnot. And then most, like all of us, we have some shit we're going to have to do later in the day. Like, we're going to have to start up like the dinner routine, or something's going to have to happen, right?
Right.
And rather than just giving ourselves a break, because we're going to, if I said, all right, from now on, is it Liz? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. From now on, Liz, we're going to come in at 4:30, and that 20, 25 minutes that you've been like deciding on the snack, and then sitting on the couch having the snack, and then thinking about the snack and all that stuff, we're just going to spend 25 minutes of napping or just listening to ourselves be enjoying the moment. What is the conversation that's likely to be had during that 25 minutes?
With myself?
Yeah, like what's really going to be going on in your brain about doing nothing?
Probably everything that I needed to get done for the day, or, you know, that I'm planning for tomorrow.
Yeah. And so what happens is rather than getting used to the idea of learning how to change the conversation on doing nothing, the real discomfort is not that you want the yogurt. The real discomfort is you dealing with you piling a bunch of shit on yourself about taking a break. That's the discomfort. Yeah. What the yogurt and the popcorn does is take that conversation out of the equation. Oh, we'll get started on all of our productivity stuff and the stuff we should be doing. We'll do that after we have our healthy snack. Because that allows you to not have that conversation. It's like, you're taking a break anyway. Yeah. Right now, you're just giving yourself one that produces a negative result, which is, I stay at only down 55 pounds. Rather than sitting there and just being like, yeah, like, I obviously want one every day because I keep choosing yogurt. So now I'm just going to choose sitting my happy ass down on the couch. And then you start changing the conversation you have around just having a break. And being like, yeah, like, I'm going to be bored as fuck right now. I've been going all day. I'm ready for some bored as fuck time.
Okay.
It will be hard in the beginning because you're going to have to learn how to work through your guilt. You'll have to learn how to work through your, like, I should be's, all that kind of stuff. That's the discomfort.
Okay.
So many of you confuse the discomfort of like, but I'm not having my yogurt. It's like, yes, not really the problem. If I could tell you, you could sit for 25 minutes every day and you could just love life for 25 minutes. And when you get up, you're going to feel amazing and relaxed and stuff. Y'all would be like, oh, sign me up. How do you get that done?
Right.
Like, you quit eating yogurt. That's how you get that done.
Okay.
And at first it feels turd. I know this because I've done this on myself. I literally, everybody okay. jokes because I schedule a 30-minute nap every day. That 30-minute nap took the place of that afternoon snack I was having every day that I for fuck sure wasn't okay. hungry for. And it was not a bowl of broccoli okay. either. It was always my protein something or other or a protein bar. It was always yeah. something that, like something that I could say like, this is what healthy people do. Like we sit around and we eat
right.
peanut butter and whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
I was never hungry. Yeah. And let me tell you, the first okay. few weeks where I like knew that my team was working and my husband was at the job and I was on the couch with a pillow. It wasn't fun.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. I can see that.
And then it got to where it was like, I normalized it. And I just said, yeah, you go hard every day. You deserve to take a nap.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what I would do. That will
okay.
probably for sure get over this. Is there any other overeating we need to address though? Because I don't know if you sticking between 55 and 57 pounds is all on a cup of yogurt with granola on it.
I still have trouble sometimes meeting my plus two. But I'm really trying to work on that. I'm trying to eat slower.
Okay.
I tend to eat so fast, but I'm really working on slowing it down, enjoying my food instead of just inhaling it.
Yes. That'll be really yeah. good. You keep working on that and then cut that snack out in the afternoon. I think for you, just personally cutting that snack out and really in understanding how to enjoy some time to yourself
mm-hmm.
and like be with that will help you also with all the other eating. Because once you get to the point to where you start cleaning up your mindset around food, it starts translating in all the little areas like eating, pasture plus two and stuff like that.
Okay.
Give that a whirl and see what happens. Is your water good?
Okay. Yeah. Water and sleep are great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
let's try that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Permjeet. You're up. I need to get on. I need to make sure this didn't. Hello.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
What are we coaching on? You look happy.
I'm in a good mood today. I had like a day that felt like really shitty yesterday and I had to do like loads of redirecting. Uh-huh. But I just kept redirecting, so I didn't quit and give up. So then I was like, it was fine. I was quite surprised I could redirect that much and I kept not trying to listen to my old story and stuff I had about something.
Okay.
So that was fine.
All right.
So it's quite good. So been doing better. Well, no, doing good mindset work and stuff like that. But I wanted like coaching on exceptions.
Okay.
So like if I plan an exception, which I always started doing like the week before camp, and then that exception didn't go to plan because I normally when I plan an exception, I start thinking all week about the day I planned the exception for. And like the closer I get to it, the more and more kind of tense I think I get and pressure I start. Because it's always in the back of my mind. Like, if Saturday's exception, I start thinking about it all the time. So Saturday, like, a little bit, but I get more and more towards, this, like, the day of the exception. And then that first exception I had before camp, I didn't like it that much. I didn't enjoy it the way I used to
okay.
enjoy the food. And it used to be, like, stuff I would binge on. So I was kind of, like, disappointed I didn't enjoy it. So I ate more to try and get enjoyment from the food instead of just being, like, I don't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then some things I've had when I enjoy it, so this is kind of like a spin either way, so I'm like not sure how I want to think about exception food. I have it and then when I like it I get a really strong urge. I'm like, oh my god, like all these urges have come and I don't like that part either. So it's like I don't like it when I don't like it.
I know, but this is part, this you're gonna have to like, you don't have to like it, but you're gonna have to embrace it.
Yeah,
this is all kind of part of you normalizing binge. Your relationship with food. You're going to want to have really a whole... Go ahead. Go ahead.
It feels like so intense. It reminds me of a binge, like how I felt during a binge. And I'm like I never feel that way any other time. Even mm-hmm. when there's times I would have buffered and something happening and I would I never get the suggestions really now, go eat food, or I don't have a strong urge or a seafood that I'd like to want to eat, but because I'm not eating it, I don't get that intense urge and I manage it fine. But as soon as I eat it and I like it, then I'm like, oh my God, this is like really, like, because I want no sugar, no flour most of the time. So I only have the sugar and flour like once a week now. And I'm like, I just find it unsettling. Like, I feel really unsettled and I get a bit scared.
Why do you feel unsettled about, like, let me tell you what your brain's doing. And then you tell me if it's reasonable for you to be unsettled about it, okay? Or it's like, I want to tell you right now, there's nothing wrong with you being unsettled, but I want to clear it up for you so that you can decide how you want to feel about it, okay? Your brain is very used to when it gets certain foods that used to mean binging. Yeah. So your brain is not like operating on your emotion and stuff. It's just been like, oh, we're getting ready to pile drive a lot of that in. That's all that's happening.
Okay.
Like, nothing's wrong. Nothing's like, there's no like, I'm going to lose control or anything like that. Your brain is just sending up what would be the normal signal. Like, okay, incoming, prepare. Like, because, you know, 75 times previous to this, when we had it, like, let's say it's a piece of cheesecake, right? Or whatever. Yeah. Give me something that you're going to eat.
So I had like a cake yesterday, like it was my boss's birthday, and we had this cake and it had like really nice icing on it.
Okay.
And then I had it and I felt like kind of like fight or flight. I felt like such a like, not panic, but I was like, I felt like, oh, this is so strong and like I want more and like, will I go out of control and all
that? Well, and then here's the thing. So you have just your brain in that moment. It's taking all the sugar, all the flour from the cake that it's consumed in mass quantities in the past. And when it gets a little bit of it, it doesn't know it's getting a little. It thinks we're getting all of it. And then you combine that with your own personal thoughts of like, oh no, something's wrong. I'm really liking this. This is a lot. It's like, no, you're supposed to really like cake when you have it.
Okay.
Supposed to enjoy it. It's supposed to taste pretty damn good. All that part's okay. Your job is going to be noticing where your brain wants to go and just being like, this is normal. There's nothing. I'm not going to binge and I'm not broken and this is not going to be an uncontrollable urge. This was a planned piece of cake. The only way I'll eat more is if my hand and my mouth start working in conjunction with each other over it. Like, yeah. I want you to like make it that like benign and talk to yourself at such a low intensity level, because your brain is going to want to like spin out. Your brain is used to several things. Oh, incoming flour and sugar, kickstart the emotional side, send in thoughts of this is too much and panic. And like, you know, it just, it's like the little, it's just like a little conveyor belt of it's making its pit stop to get to the final product. And all you're doing is you're giving it new pit stops.
Okay. Cause I like feel like that's the only time it happens. Like even, you know, something in the past that easily would have triggered me to buffer, I don't get any kind of like signal, like thought from my brain, let's go eat now. Or it's like very minor and I'm just like, no, it's fine. But as soon as I have something, I'm like,
well, let me ask you like this.
Compulsive kind of thing comes
with
to me.
All of the past circumstances that have like triggered you to binge and stuff, right? So we have these past circumstances that cause you to think and feel things to binge. What changed there?
Like, I kept telling myself that like, I don't need food to like cope and stuff like that. I can feel these feelings. I practice feeling them and I can feel feelings intentionally and stuff like that. And I'm trying to tell myself I'm always in control. I can always stop and stuff like this and not eat. And I've been practicing. I've been trying to like work on this for kind of 3 weeks like myself and trying to figure out what's going on. But then sometimes what I thought for a while, I just didn't like exception food anymore. Like food didn't make me happy. But then I do have some exception food sometimes that I actually like.
Yeah, so this is what I want you to see. The only reason why these circumstances now you handle them different is because you trained your brain on how to handle them different. We're going to do the same thing with exception food.
Yeah, like I have some thoughts, like when I was planning exception food, like it's okay to like the exception food. Don't feel bad about it. Like you can have food and it tastes good and that's okay. But then when I have sometimes or urges to overeat or binges, I still think like, this is really good. And I'm like, I don't want to think that thought about the exception food, because sometimes that was a thought that led me to overeat. But I don't know if it's more like, this is it good and I want more?
I'm going to tell you, it depends upon the energy behind it. I don't think that was ever really the thought. I think that was some of the stuff you were saying around that was the real thought was, I can't handle something. Something was going on. And so then you got your model changed over to the food. I just want you to now just be like, there's a difference between like your circumstance in those times was not exception food. I think you're trying to it's almost like you're confusing your models. When you were binging, I would just put your circumstances binge food. And then you have thoughts about that. Now we have exception food. This is planned and deliberate and whatnot. This over here was never planned. It was never deliberate. It was always in reaction to. That's why the thoughts and the excitement and the all the things are, you're going to notice that when you eat, there's going to be some similarities, but they're so polar opposite. And I want you to remember that they are opposite, that they are not the same thing. That when you plan an exception, you get to look forward to it. Like one of the things that you said in the beginning that I want you to really work on is the next time you plan an exception, I want you to stay in a space of looking forward to it and not dreading it. You're going into an exception like it's a problem.
Yeah, I feel like I tense up a bit. And then like yesterday I'd planned an exception and then someone I thought was annoying me, but I was like, they're not annoying me. That's my fault. They're annoying. So then I was like, it's like I want a perfect day, the day I have the exception. Like no one should try and test me on my brain. Like everything should go to plan so I can just like focus on my exception. But I did do my exception okay and I followed it, but I did want more and I nearly went and bought some more food, but I didn't because the thing I wanted wasn't there. But then I told myself, oh, that's only because the thing wasn't there. But I was like, you still could have bought something else. So I gave myself like credit for it at the end of the day. Because you would have bought something else usually in the past. You just bought anything in it to get rid of the urge. So it's fine. You had to feel shit for a while and I went to a meeting. But that's fine. There was a meeting scheduled and I like sat and then I was fine. I redirected back to where I wanted to be. But it was like for a while, like having all that urges for an hour or so and then feeling like kind of, I feel like a bit I might go out of control, but I know I'm not really. It's just that probably because you get that strong dopamine hit and you've not had it all week kind of thing. I feel like normally really in control and soon, maybe as I have exception, I get a bit of doubt and like,
You need to watch for all of that. And you need to tell yourself there's like, I want you to start getting to where exception would be like if the same as broccoli. Like you would never sit around and tell me like, ooh, I've got that bowl of broccoli planned for this week. And I don't know about that. Like it's going to like send me over the edge and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you're like exception food is the same. Like we want to get it back neutral. Cause I'm going to guarantee you if we put broccoli in your circumstance line, it's neutral.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And like,
I want to be able to get to where we put a cupcake in there. It's neutral too.
Yeah, I think it's just more the sugar flour because sometimes I do overeat on meals, you know, go past the hunger scale and I don't have that strong urge there and I don't treat it the same way as I would if it was exception. But like, how do you like look forward to the exception without like creating too much over desire at the same time so you don't overeat the exception like too much at the same time, like so that you're like, thinking like this is my one, well, cause sometimes you think this, well, like this is my one chance in the week to eat this kind of food.
Well, that's the poison thought. This is my one chance. Yeah. No, it's not your one chance. If you wanted to plan it every day, guess what you would get to do?
I did plan it 2 days in a row. But then that's
exactly the point. Like you thinking this is my one and only chance to have it. It's like you need to quit telling yourself that. It's like, no. I planned it one time this week on purpose. That's the only time I chose it this week. If I want to choose it every day, I get to choose it every day. And I will always be planned and I will always be deliberate. I may not lose weight this week.
Yeah.
But that's like everything has a payoff. Everything has a consequence. That's just life. But I need you to start like, you've got to get it neutralized for yourself to where it's like, I want to pick and choose how I think about this stuff. Like it's an exception. I get to look forward to it. I also get to be disappointed sometimes. I'm going to tell you, there's plenty of times that like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to date night with Chris and like had wine, right? And that's always my exception. And I'm sitting there and some douche at the bar wants to talk to us all night long. It's like, that's just one of those times. That doesn't mean that, you know, the next, I'm going to be sorely, you know, like I'm like ruined my exception and everything. It's just like, yeah, I'm a little disappointed. Doesn't always work out. Doesn't always taste as great. I don't always get what I want. That's okay. But I don't think my one and only chance this week has been ruined.
I think that's what I thought when I had that one pre-camp. I was like, I was looking forward to this all week and now it's just like not even that good. It was a disappointment. Like surely one of these things is going to be amazing or something like that.
Something just, I would just stop with like one day I will find something I really like and I will plan on it and stuff and I'll have it.
I had a few nice ones. Like I had a few good ones in Nashville. I have to like go to Nashville for exception, but I had one yesterday that was nice as well. But I had
Nashville's a good place to have exceptions. we don't disappoint in the food department here.
Yeah, so that was good. I did have a good one yesterday, but then I'm like, and then I had that same thing today again, but I planned it because I knew someone was going to give, they wanted to give me like some of the cake that was left over. And I said, I'd just put it on plan in case I do want to have it. And I had it and that was fine and stuff like that. So I did have the urge come back again to want to have more, but then I didn't have any more.
I think that's fine. I think that like, I want you to be confident that your old behaviors are going to want to raise their hand and get called on. Just like last night when I was having wine with Chris, I'd planned three. Number four was like, do you want me? Like, I'm just sitting back here. I'm innocent. Like, you'll finish the bottle off for the restaurant. You should do that for them. Like, yeah. I always count on wanting more. Sometimes throwing a little temper tantrum in my brain and stuff. But I also count on myself to just be like, I can handle my own bullshit. That's fine.
Yeah.
I want you to be able to count on Permie's bullshit that like handle it and just be like, there's nothing going wrong here. Because what I don't want you to do is setting yourself up for needing that part to be over.
Yeah.
I don't need you to be having that part to be over. I need you to be looking forward to just doing the work. Because you'll come out stronger for it at the end.
Yeah, that's what I thought about yesterday. Because during that day when I was redirecting a lot, I was like, this is kind of a little bit, I wanted to think it was tiring. But then at the end of the day, I was like, no, it's probably really good that you've like unlearned a lot and stuff like that. And
yeah.
You'll have like a lot of progress from that day. So it's probably better than a day that runs to plan.
Yeah. Keep doing work on how things are going right and how you're learning and what all's, like all the good parts of it, and do a little bit more work on like being honest with yourself about the things you think, but not thinking like, ooh, I think there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's ever anything wrong with our shitty thoughts. They're just there. Like, I don't ever like to tell myself like, ooh, something might be wrong, or maybe this is setting me up for disaster. It's like, no, you know what keeps me out of disaster is what you're doing. Just being aware of it. As long as you're aware and you don't tune a deaf ear to it, you'll be fine.
No, I don't judge my thoughts as much. I do sometimes have a bit of judgment about like how much exception food I want to eat and stuff. So that's something I noticed yesterday. Like I was judging myself because I'd planned for two cakes. So I was going to have like a second slice of cake, but no one else had had one. And I was like, well, you can't have one then because they've not had one, even though I thought I had and stuff like that. So I was like, so then I did have it, but we only had it when there was only two other people in the room, like when the number of people had gone down. So
I felt, oh my like, God, I would have been the person to be like, man, this tastes damn good. Thank God I planned it. And it went over and got my piece.
Because I was like, I can't have a second one when there was like 10 people in the room. I kept waiting for them to all go away so I could have like my second slice. But then I'd like, eventually I was like, I'm going to have a second one to someone and stuff like this. And they were like, okay, go have one and stuff like this. So they didn't care. But I was like judging myself the whole time. So that's part of the thing. Like I always think I should not want, well, I'm eating too much of it or something compared to other people or something like that. So I'll get more aware of those kind of thoughts.
Yeah, I would watch all of that because it's like you can either have that second piece or not have that second piece and each time be doing it from an ineffective or an effective model. Like if it was me and I really wanted the second piece and nobody else was eating two pieces, if I was going to say no, I'd probably just be like, well, if nobody else is having any, I guess I won't either. And I wouldn't have like thought more about it. I wouldn't have been like, well, I don't want anybody to notice me or anything. I just feel like,
all right, yeah, that's mine.
I'm just done. Yeah. I mean, I just would have just been like, all right. Or I would have been over there getting it and saying, look, bitches, I planned for two pieces. Get out my way.
Yeah. Because then sometimes I want to eat in secret when I judge how much I eat. And then you feel like shame and stuff like that.
Yeah, don't do that. Just don't do that part.
Yeah, I'm quite used to that. Okay.
All right, lady. Good call. Good seeing you.
Yes, I see you.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks. Bye.
You look a bad way. You just look so happy. I just have to keep telling you that. Like, all those calls in the early days, you came on so nervous. You could just tell you were just
scared.
Such pain. Well, and just in like a lot of personal pain. You just look like a whole different person these days. Anyway, I love it. So, all right.
Bye.
Lisa Messer is first. We have two Lisas. Hi.
Am I here? Oh, good.
Hi. You are. Yeah, man, you're in the dark.
I know. Why is that? Let me see if I can turn a light on.
Okay. Oh, it's fine. I don't care. I just noticed that you were in the dark. It's like
I know. I don't realize it's that dark. Okay. And I have this other screen up there. I don't know what's going on. Okay. How's that?
Better? That's good. Yeah.
Okay.
So what are we coaching on?
Okay. So my thing seems to be accountability. I am not, I know that you've been doing this whole piece on it too right now. And I write my plan out and I don't stick with it. And it's just like nonstop. So I did that one thing about 67 days, you know, I was like doing that piece, like I can do it. And then I realized what was happening is I went back and I got to about 52 and I just thought, you know, fuck this. Like I'm not giving up, but I don't want to write it down anymore. It's like, about every 4 or 5 days, I screw up. I do my TDLs and everything else. We've talked before, and sometimes I think maybe it's because I don't believe. Like, I don't believe in myself.
So every 4 or 5 days, you eat off your plan, and this is like a huge deal.
I think so. I mean, I'm trying to find a pattern because I'm not
a bad thing that every 4 or 5 days you're eating off plan.
Because I'm not finding myself accountable. I'm not even accountable on my everyday. I change it, but I'm not overeating. I change it all the time. I don't stick.
So then you're not doing it. 4 or 5 days. Tell me what's happening. Tell me, have you lost weight?
Yeah. No.
Okay. No. So we know that we're going to have to stick to some plans. What's going on these plans and why are you changing them? You're not my sandwich girl, are you?
Yeah, I'm your sandwich girl.
Are you really? Because
I'm not in the mood to eat that. I am not in the mood to eat that. I don't want that. I want something else. And I think, well, here I am. I want something else.
So tell me what you had. Did you break the plan yesterday?
I didn't do a plan yesterday because I haven't been writing for a couple of days now, about a week.
Oh my God, you were so close to a 1 hour call with me.
I know.
All of that, like, I just.
I know.
Want it and like.
I just felt like I wasn't doing it. I wasn't even doing it.
You were doing it. You were 57 and you only had to do 67 or 53.
Every corner, I would put 1 out of 67 and I went every day with how many days I got.
I want to show you the difference between your thought and my thought.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much judgment around this plan shit that you got to 53 in a row and stopped. In my mind, I'm like, oh my God, you did 53. We've got so much to learn. We got so much stuff that we can figure out. We can have a whole hour together. I want you to see where your brain went.
It
totally stopped you right there. And I'm very curious as to why you would stop at 53 when you're so close to having that hour with me.
Yeah.
With no results. Because you really have to do 67 with no results.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah.
All right. So what did we learn other than the fact that did you ever plan those sandwiches?
I did. And then I even planned some sugar. And I did. Yeah, I did a couple of them.
Like 2 out of 53.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know. I have to look.
Lisa, what did you, before you quit planning the 53, what were you putting on that plan? Was it sandwiches and sugar or were you back to what you were doing before, which is planning what you...
Both. Both. So I would
give me an idea. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I would do, I would, because I was like always saying, well, I'm not in the mood for that. Why do I have to eat that? So I says, okay, salad. And if I feel like having a sandwich today, I'll have a sandwich. So I would do that for lunch. Dinner has always been a problem. So I've been working on the dinner plan, and usually it's some chicken or some quinoa rice or something like that. Or I'm not sure what it is at that turning point
so
either.
What's the problem here? Like, let me just say, if your 53 plans, every single one of them, you either had a sandwich or salad for lunch, and you were having a protein and quinoa or protein and a carb except for dinner, mm-hmm. you would be losing weight.
Yeah.
What is the problem? Why are you not losing weight? And don't say it's not because I'm not following the plan. I want to know, like, what, like, how are you not following the plan?
Maybe I'm eating, overeating. I think that's a piece of it that I've done.
No, and maybe. I want you to tell me. Exactly.
I was overeating. I didn't stop when I should have, because I was getting anxious or uptight with my family. And I don't know how to sit with that anymore like I used to, because I got everybody in my face. And
so you were overeating quinoa and chicken?
No, just chicken or whatever else was on the table. I mean,
like what is it? I want you to be specific. This is
so I know. Okay. So I would overeat if I made some pasta and meatballs. I would overeat those foods. I would overeat enchilada. I would put enchilada on my meal. Yes, they were on my plan because I had them in my house. And I says, okay, they're in my house. I'm going to plan them.
Okay, so when you plan enchiladas, what does that look like on your 24-hour plan?
Well, I put it on, and then I have one, and then I'll have a little bit, maybe a half of one or a little bit more. And I'm, you know, I'm really done, but I'm not done.
Okay, so
and then I start cheating.
Or did you plan one?
One.
But you're eating.
And then I was still hungry. Yeah, I was still hungry, and then I was getting uptight.
Why did you not start planning one and a half?
Because I knew I wasn't hungry for it.
No, you were. You just said I was hungry.
Yeah, I know. But it was like I was overeating. Like I felt like I was overeating. Right, and
but here's where you missed my whole point. You're still not being realistic. The whole point is for you to get very conscious. You're still practicing eating behind your back. Rather than eating exactly what you eat and the way you do it, which is too much. But with it right in your face. If you're going to have anxiety with your family, I want you to also have anxiety with overeating through it. I don't want you practicing being ginned up with your family and then overeating because of it. I want you to practice planning like, I eat fucking meatballs like a boss, and here's how many I'm going to have, 10. And if that's reality, we need to plan reality. So that when you're sitting there and you're eating all of it, the conversation has to change in your head. You've not done that. You've allowed the same old conversation to be played out. I'm just going to have a few more. It's your fault.
And I hear that. And then I hear the anger. And that's what's happening is in me. Is like when you were talking about it, like, man, I can eat meatballs like a boss. I'm like, fuck. I'm so angry.
Right. I want you to be angry when you're eating meatballs. I don't want you angry on the phone with me. That's too late. It's too late. We don't get to be angry then. You know what we get to do then? Go back to the playbook. Like, we have to assess. Anger and disappointment and fear and doubt, all that, I want you to feel it when the food's going in. And I want you to feel it because you're consciously making the choice. Because you're like, I've got goals, but I'm eating 2 enchiladas every night. By God, 2 enchiladas, and I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to be pissed at myself because I plan to. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be like sitting there thinking, I shouldn't even eat like this. There's no way I'll get to my goals while you're eating. But what you do and what everyone else does, you guys sit there and eat, and you say like, oh, my fucking family, I'm just going to have a little more. I'm probably still hungry. You have this tired out conversation. And then now you're on the phone with me, and you're crying, and you're angry. And you're pissed, and you're feeling all of those feelings when it's too fucking late. That's why we do the realistic plan. Because when you have that conversation in the middle of that boss-like meatball dinner and 2 enchiladas, you'll stop because it won't feel good in the moment. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're eating to feel good in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I want to flip the script. I want it to feel awful in the moment to overeat. awful. So that you start like feeling good later about changing how you handle your life. Do you see the difference?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And I know I'm like railing on you, but like,
no, it's okay.
Or like every other person, like this realistic plan, I just know that this is going to be like me unlocking some kind of scientific secret, and I'm going to win an award at some point because I really think this is such a key to all of it. But I've got to get you guys on board. And the hardest part of it is you're afraid you won't lose weight.
Yeah.
Your fear will stop you from doing it. And you're afraid now. I just want you to be afraid and just try something new anyway.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
I am going to start writing my plan out again. Okay. And I am going to write my realistic plan. And I'm going to plan for extra food now instead of, you know, eating until I'm five or I mean two or whatever that might be, but just to eat. And then when I'm pissed off eating, I have to make sure that I see myself pissed off eating.
Yeah. And you get
to stop what I want to be doing.
If you want to stop at a two with all that food on there, you get to do that.
Yeah. And I hope that I'm going to do that. Right. So that trust again.
It's easier to stop at your two when you're in a lot of awareness. And that is the point of the realistic plan, to make you so aware of what's going on. Right now, you're just not aware.
Yeah.
Here's what you're aware of. Your family, not your food.
I know.
And I want you aware of your food. And then you can address your family. Your family doesn't cause anxiety. Your family doesn't piss you off.
They do.
No, they don't.
I piss myself off. It's me.
It's they do and say things and your mind is going wild. If you want to be pissed at them, have at it. Like I'm pissed at Chris right now about my Mac, but I choose it. I don't blame him for why I'm mad. I'm like, no, here's why I'm mad. I'm choosing it. But I don't have to eat when I choose it. If I think people are making me feel something, then I need to do something to make those feelings go away. If I choose these feelings, they're mine to own. I don't need to make them go away.
Yeah.
Because I know that I have the power to make them go away whenever I'm ready. That's the difference. That's why you can't blame your family. You blurted it on out there. That's a call. You need to get on a call and talk about that. Get on a coach hour or get on one of my calls next month. And you need to talk about why you think your family is doing things to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's really the real problem. It's not all this other stuff. I coach somebody the other day on, I was like, it's always amazing to me when people have unresolved issues in their life, like when it's their family or whatever, they sabotage themselves over and over again in weight loss because it's such a convenient way to spend a lot of mental energy thinking about that versus thinking about how they're going to deal with all this other stuff.
Okay.
All right. You got your marching orders. I know it always feels worse before it feels better.
Yeah.
I still want you to plan the sandwiches.
Okay, I will.
I'm amazed at myself for remembering this.
I know. Thank you. Like,
you're my sandwich girl, aren't you?
I am. Lisa the sandwich girl.
That's right. All right. Thanks. You've got your homework orders, Mama. All right. Bye.
Okay. Have a great day.
Oh my God. I haven't made somebody cry in so long. It almost didn't feel good, y'all. I'm just going to say, oi. I'm all hopped up on coffee and MCT oil. Whew. Well, hello, Mama.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good.
Man, I think I'm Lisa the sandwich girl.
Do what?
I'm Lisa the sandwich girl.
No, I think I coached her on sandwiches too.
Okay, well then there's two Lisas on sandwiches because last time I got on with you, we coached about sandwiches.
Well, she was every day planning a salad. I know it was her because her story was, I don't want to. It was always, I don't want to. And like, she was very indignant about needing to eat what she wanted to eat. And we coached about planning. Like the whole call was all about planning sandwiches. And I was like, I don't know that I've ever done a coaching call where all we did was talk about planning a sandwich. Anyway, what's that big whiteboard?
Let me show you.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it. Oh, that's a good one.
Right? And look at this. Are you ready?
Yes. Oh, that's what
my
I
son
need.
Drew me
a little happy.
Yeah, I don't know how it got upside down.
That's a good day, Mom.
Right? Isn't that cute?
Yes, that is cute.
He's a sweet boy.
All right.
I bought that at Amazon so I could map out my projects for the year.
You're a woman after my own heart. I've got a big one here. Our new house, we're planning a catwalk area that's got like a big space in it. And we decided to make that like we're calling it our conference room. I don't know who Chris and I are conferencing with, but we're getting like this one wall. We're getting a custom made big ass whiteboard with a frame because we love to whiteboard. And I'm like, I can't even imagine all the projects I'm going to be able to good. All right. So what are we talking about?
Sorry, real quick, Corinne, do you know who Pam Slim is?
Pam Slim?
Yeah. She has an office. She's a coach and she has a building, and inside the building, her entire wall is painted with whiteboard instead of just a frame.
Oh,
and
wow.
When you go in there, you map out your whole year across her whole whiteboard.
That is
so maybe instead of framing it, just do all the walls with whiteboard.
I need to talk to that lady. There's a lady who's helping me with all this. I need to see what her ideas are. In fact, I'm on the phone with her tomorrow. I'll have to ask her about that. I didn't even know you could do it with paint.
Oh. Yeah, you can do it. The whole wall is paint. So she has this, it is like huge. And she can have 10 people in there all whiteboarding at the same time on different projects and classes.
That's amazing. Okay, that's cool.
I can even email her and ask her if she can tell me like what kind of paint it was and get that to you.
I bet this girl can get it. She's like, she designs spaces like that because I'm having her design my office some because I need to get it to where like the lighting is right and all this other kind of stuff. Because as you can tell, like it's actually decent light today because the sun's out.
Mm-hmm.
Some days I look like I'm in a little hole at night. Mm-hmm. I have this weird white glow and
I've seen it. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, so listen. Let me just tell you something. The shit works. And that could be
last, Lisa.
That could be the whole testimonial on the Facebook, on your website. This shit works. Okay.
Right.
I am after post camp, I'm doing my plan. Uh-huh. It's working. Like everything is just chugging along. I'm losing weight. I feel amazing. It is working.
Good.
Yeah.
So what do you think was the big thought change?
You know, it's kind of what you were talking to the last person about. What I really learned at camp is that it's all about writing down the plan and sticking to the plan and being realistic about the plan. Mm-hmm. So that would be one part of it. And the other piece would be I'm in an accountability group with the grown ass women, you know, my friends, Amy and Jen. And that's really working too. The accountability, the vulnerability, the asking for help, the celebrating the successes, you know, that is because I no longer feel like I'm going it alone. I've got these resources and they're working.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
Well, how are the other girls doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well, good. Because I like
y'all.
Y'all were my A-types.
Well, we're all three coming back for the 2-day and we're coming to the race.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. We're signed up, man. We're in it. And we're doing a whole day before the 2-day together, like as an accountability thing.
Damn. Y'all are on fire. Who knew?
Yeah. We're going to milk that trip to Nashville for as many days as we can.
Well, and that's a good time to come too. June is always like that part of the year is always really nice here. So
yeah.
All right. Well, what are we going to coach on?
Okay. So here's the thing. This is my next kind of, you know, layer of the onion to peel back, if you will. I seem to do really well. So I kind of have my, let's call it my health life and my work life. I mean, I have other things in my life too, but these are like plates that spin. And I'm really good at getting one plate spinning. And then this plate's got to slow down. And then basically what I'm trying to ask you for is coaching on how to get them both spinning at the same time. So, you know, post-camp, I really focused on the 24-hour plan and eating well and working on the mental thoughts. And then, like this week, my business, I've been super busy. Yesterday, I spent 12 hours recording videos in a studio, and you know, I'm recording my podcast, and life is busy. And I can feel myself slowly, like the old thoughts are coming up, like, Lisa, you don't have time. You don't, you know, you're busy. You've got to focus on this. And I can feel it. And I wanted to intervene before it gets away from me. And I'm not quite sure.
The first thing is you got to quit telling yourself you're busy. Busy doesn't produce a result. Deliberate planning produces results. So you need to start telling yourself, I am very deliberate with my time. I am not busy, because busy says there's too much. Busy means there's too much to do. I'm torn. Like, it has all of these, like, when you define what busy is to you, nobody ever says busy and the definition works for them. It's always some bullshit definition. It's like, that's why the thoughts are coming in. You don't have time for this, because busy says there's not enough time.
Right.
Deliberate planner of someone who says, like, no, you know what I do? I plan like a boss. I'd plan to do all these podcasts and all these recordings today. That's what this day is about. It was, I always knew this was going to be today. That doesn't mean it has nothing to do with the food.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're very deliberate and you're choosing where you spend your time and you choose what you're doing, I mean, there's some days I work like, you know, 12, 14 hours a day, but I never feel like it's like, oh, what a burden. Like, today is one of those days. Today is a very long day, because I don't end my last call's over at 7 o'clock, and then I'll check in one last time. So it's like, I'm about 12 hours by the time I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think about Wednesday just being like, I used to call it ass day. And the only reason I call it ass day is I'm talking all day. But mm-hmm. I also know that it has nothing to do with my food.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I structure this day this way on purpose, so that I also have days where there is not a lot of talking and there's a lot of other very deliberate work going on. So when you construct that your time is always the way you're doing it, sorry, I forgot my text messages wrong. When you always are constructing in your mind that time is yours and you are in control of it and you're planning and you're choosing, even if, let's say, your son runs in and he's chopped a finger off. A lot of people be like, oh my God, I was so busy because like my son cut his finger off and I had to do all these other things, and they get into this frantic mode. It's like, no, I deliberately planned to take care of that. Like, you always have to stay in the mindset of, like, you're always choosing how you're spending your time. It makes you start spending your time to your advantage. If you think your time is outside of you, it's just like food. If you think chocolate cake controls you, every time you're around chocolate cake, you're going to overeat. If you think time controls you versus you controlling time, then all day long, you're going to find all the things that are going to take you off your game. So right now what's happening is you're very on your game, but your brain's already going like, yeah, but if we don't really control our time, and you're not going to have time to be like this forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I have time to do this forever. Always.
I have time to do this forever.
Yeah. And you also, one of the things that always helps me is when I start thinking there's not enough time or whatever, what I normally do is I will write down how much time it actually fucking takes. And I put it on my calendar first, and I see what a small part it has. And then the rest of the day has white space. I'm like,
yeah,
like, I may just be saying I don't have time to plan, because what I really don't want to do is have to plan a salad again.
Yeah. You know, me and salads, we've had that conversation.
Unless they're Nashville salads. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, who knew a salad could taste good?
Those Nashville salads, man, they were good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's really helpful. I didn't even realize that busy had snuck in there, and that was kind of the villain, if you will. And yeah, I think that when I get busy, when I say that word in my head, I get super amped up and anxious, and and everything speeds up and I'm frantic and I run around. So I just need to really be mindful and look for that word and really block it.
I promise you that when people start talking about themselves as being busy, the first thing that happens is when you think you're busy, it means you think you have too much to do. So then you're like, okay, well, if I have too much to do, I need to cut some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And our brain is always going to want to go to cutting out the things that are going to get us close to our dreams and our goals, like our, you know, 24-hour plan. It'll always cut shit that's going to make such a big-ass impact on our life. Like for me, when I'm busy, I cut out working on very mind-intensive projects, and I'm like, oh, yeah, so busy today. Like I had to, like, answer 1,000 things from the team. Like, no, I could have done all of that in 10 minutes, but no, what I did was I like quit working on my main project and I kept checking in with them and not really getting anything done. Mm-hmm. But I was busy. I felt like I did a lot today.
Yeah. It's funny how busy can be almost a paralyzer in terms of getting stuff done, right? Because we do the low-hanging fruit or we spin around. It's kind of like vacation. I call it vacation, day before vacation, right? You know? Day before vacation, it's amazing the shit you can get done in a short amount of time.
I know. I'm trying to, I bought a brand new teleprompter. I'm getting ready to shoot this video because I want to be like, I know the points I want to cover.
Yeah.
And I have to get the videos shot today. And I have like such a little amount of time to do them in because I go on vacation in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm on a plane.
And oh, wow.
My mind is like, wow. So during this like 43 minute time slot, I'm going to do this. It's like you suddenly are very aware of your time when you have very little time to get it done and you can get so much more done. And we can just do that all the time if we want to.
Yeah, we can. I mean, I've been doing that with my 24 hour plan is I give myself like 3 minutes to get it done and that's it. You know, and so I'm like on vacation every morning for 3 minutes about this 24-hour, the analysis of the day before and the 24-hour plan. I set a timer, 3 minutes done.
It also keeps you out of negotiation. This is one of the other things when it comes to busy is that when we're real busy, we're always negotiating what we're going to do next. And it's like, what if
that's interesting.
If you were very deliberate with your time, if you just knew what you're going to be doing next, you'd get so much of your time back. You would just get so much more done. But I don't think a lot of people really understand how much time they spend in just indecision when they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
Like thinking about what you're going to do next feels busy. Knowing what you're going to do next is productive.
Well, I think that's where I was with the 24-hour plan. I'll just say this to anyone that's helpful. You know, before I went to camp, I would say to myself things like, well, I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow. I mean, come on, Corinne. I don't know what I'm going to. And now, you know, now it's like that whole, no, this is the moment you're going to decide. Or I would use this excuse. Well, I don't know what I'm going to make for dinner. I don't know what my family's going to want. And that was all BS noise. Now it's like, no, tonight we're having fried rice. That's what we're having. Or at least that's what I'm making and serving. And if they need to have something else, they're welcome to. But I will be prepping and serving chicken fried rice tonight.
That is such a good point. I'm going to see if Lisa M is still on because I want to say something. I'm going to say it anyway, but Lisa, if you're still listening, I don't know if you're like, you're still on the call. Well, I think she just went off the call. Shit. I was going to tell her something. Literally, her name disappeared. I'm like, shit. One of the things that I would do for all of you who have a case of the, I don't know what I'm going to want. I don't know how to plan for that, all that kind of stuff. What I want you guys to do is on your 24-hour plan, I want you to go ahead and write what you're going to think you're going to want the next day. And then next to the food, I want you to write what having that choice means for your ultimate want. So for example, let's say like we joked around at camp because this Lisa hates salads. Like, hate salads, blah, blah, blah. And then in 2 days, she came to me twice without even realizing it. And she's talking about how great the salad was. I was like, I thought you hated salads. And so if she writes a salad on her 24-hour plan, I want her to write next to it. And I'm going to eat it because what I really want is to lose a pound this week.
Mm-hmm.
Have it on your plan and really clear, because I think what we do is we spend so much time trying to fulfill our ultimate wants and desires, and we think food's doing it. And what we put in our mouths, like, oh, but I feel so much better when I eat this, or I feel so good, and if I get to change my mind, it's like, if you want like to lose weight and stuff, like, say the reason why I'm going to eat the salad is because when it's done, I want to feel like I stuck to my plan. I want to feel like I had my back. I want to earn my own self-respect. I want to lose a pound this week. Write some of that stuff out on your 24-hour plans, guys. That will help your brain just cement why you're making your choices. Doesn't mean you'll always follow it, but it sure as hell can't hurt. I don't think we spend enough time thinking about what we ultimately want. We spend a lot of time in beating ourselves up over what we're not doing, and we spend a lot of time thinking about what we're eating and how it's not what we want. It's like, no, it's what you want. You wanted it at some point because it meant a pound down this week.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just thought about that. So glad, and she is here. I'm glad you're here. I hope you heard that. So when you plan your, whatever you're planning, and you, because you're going to eat meatballs like a boss at first, Lisa. Then you're going to get to where you're back to planning chicken and quinoa, and you're going to go, your brain will immediately want, I know I'm coaching her at the same time, but her brain will want to immediately go back to, but this is not what we want. It's like, count on it, because it's the old script. Mm-hmm. But like practicing knowing what you want, you need to do the same thing about your time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm doing all this in my business, but here's why I want to be doing this plan. Like every time your brain says we don't have time, you say like, no, we really want to spend our time over here because we're enjoying the fuck out of weight loss right now.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't let it keep going back to that old story.
That's what I needed to hear.
Awesome. You grabbed the spot, didn't you? Because it wasn't open a little bit ago.
I got the email this morning and on the live, and I was like, I wonder if there's any openings. I just want to see Corinne's face and chat with her and, you know, ask her a couple questions. And lo and behold, there was an opening and I happened to be available.
Well, I pulled it up about 30 minutes before this call to see who I was coaching today. And there was a spot. I was like, oh, we only have three today. And then I was like, well, let me refresh it. I was like, oh, we have four today. So good for you for checking. Everybody should always check. All right.
I agree.
Anything else?
No, I mean, life's good. This is really, this, let me just end with this works. I mean, it really, when you figure out that the basics are it, it works. And planning, I mean, who knew, but it really, Corinne.
It does. I know it just does. I swear I'm right there with you. It does work. I keep preaching it. And I just need everybody to get over their fear that it won't work and just be like, just get in there and do it anyway.
Well, and the thing is the realistic plan, you know, you got to plan. And that's what we're really working on in our accountability group. We're not bullshitting ourselves anymore. You know, there's on our food plans are, you know, two glasses of wine and trail mix with chocolate and peanut butter. And, you know, I mean, we really were inspired at camp by the Hot Mess Express, you know, that, I mean, you just got to be honest about what you're going to eat and put it down. And then, and I even find myself, you know, every day I'm leveling up little bits. Like there are no sandwiches anymore. I hate to say, but there aren't, you know, now there's.
It's that process of you enjoying showing up for yourself and being like, all right, I can actually do what I say I'm going to do. I kind of think I might be able to do a little more now. Like,
exactly.
It's that pull towards it versus fighting for it. I don't want you guys fighting for your weight loss. I want you being pulled towards it. It's so much better.
Enjoying it versus feeling deprived or restricted. Because anytime, you know, I'm a rebel. So anytime you tell me I can't have something, I'm like, oh yeah, watch me. You know, and that works to my advantage in successful business, but it also works to my detriment if you try to put food rules on me.
Yeah.
So what you did is you released all those chains and said, here's how you can lose weight while enjoying it. And as you say, feeling pulled to it instead of deprived or punished or what's like the other word?
Like wrestling with it. Like
right, restricted.
You don't need this to be like a battle. It needs to be like what we're creating. What are we creating here? Healthy relationships with food, normal eating, like feeling good about ourselves. Like I always want you guys really thinking about, I know I bitch and yell and do all that kind of stuff, but ultimately what I'm really trying to do here is like, we're trying to create this amazing relationship with ourselves, our food, and it just translates into all of it. So I just tend to cuss and get loud when I get passionate about it. So, all right. Well, yeah. Thank you. It was a good call.
Yeah. Bye. Thanks, Prim.
All righty, Mama. Bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, everybody. Good deal. Like, we got a good, good recording. Betsy, I think you're my coach of record. We should probably edit my speech about the realistic plan. I think that could be good for us. So, all right. Have a great day, y'all. I'm going on vacation. I think I will be here for the Sunday Zoom call. I've talked to my friend. I think she's going, she said she did not mind. We've already have had a few days together. So, but I will be officially checking out and letting the coaches take over. So this is, what is today's date? February the 13th. Y'all have a happy Valentine's Day. Love your body tomorrow. And I will see you guys Sunday. Bye, y'all.